Hey everybody, it's Pastor Jeff here. Yesterday's sermon was very interesting. First time something like this has happened to me. We actually had a power outage in the middle of service, and there was a squirrel that got up onto one of our power lines, cut the power to the church. And so if you were watching the live stream yesterday, your feed ended quite suddenly. Power is back on now. In fact, it took the PUD just a few minutes to get the problem fixed outside, but it did affect the end of the sermon. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to come back after you guys watch the part that we did record, and then I'm going to present the rest of the sermon to you guys. So go ahead and watch this, and then I'll come back and I'll see you again in just a few minutes.
Well, I hate to break it to you, but practice does not make perfect. A lot of you guys have heard this saying. You've probably even said it and had a conversation maybe with your kids or other people that you know, and you're like, well, practice makes perfect. But that's not true. In fact, it's not practice that makes perfect. It's perfect practice that makes perfect. Let me give you an example. Let's say that I decide that I want to train for a marathon. And so I go online, I do the research, I put together this plan, and I decide that my marathon training plan is I'm going to get up early in the morning, I'm going to put on my running shoes, I'm going to get my headphones in, you know, make sure that I'm all ready to go, I'm going to grab a bag of Oreos from the pantry, I'm going to sit on the couch, and I'm going to watch YouTube videos of people running marathons. How many of you guys know that I'm not going to get very far when it actually comes to running a race? Because I haven't trained. Even though I was practicing and I was working through my plan was never going to get me very far. There's a principle at work here, and it's this. It's that your direction, not your intention, determines your destination. Where you're going, not where you want to go, determines if you'll get there or not. If you want to go to Disneyland and you take off and you start heading east on I-90, it's going to be a long time, if ever, before you actually make it to Disneyland, because you're just driving the wrong way. And so we need to be intentional about where we're going. But it's not just enough to have good intentions. It's not just enough to think about it and to aspire to something. We actually have to do the work to get there. Only perfect practice, then, makes perfect. I've got a video that I think perfectly sums up this first point. Let's go ahead and watch this together.
Good morning, Reagan. Good morning. Good morning, Madison. Good morning, Johanna. Good morning, Johnny.
People are always asking me why. Why do the same thing every year? Why not move on? But I say, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Johnny?
Present.
I'm comfortable. I know the routine.
United States of America. And to the Republic.
And I don't want to brag, but I'm pretty popular around here. I do really well in sports.
No, not my house.
Well, I'm just very successful
yes.
here. Why would I go and mess that up by graduating?
A B.
But.
I mean, in the first grade, I may not know all the answers.
D. Dog. E.
The hours are longer. I hear they don't even have nap time. I mean, I just don't see the upside. Then first grade leads to second grade, second to third.
It's really good.
Then you're in high school reading boring books with no pictures.
Three, four, five.
But he was still hungry.
Next thing you know, people expect you to get a job and give up summer vacation. No, sir. I think I found my niche. Thank you very much. Home sweet kindergarten. Besides, I mean, what if I failed first grade? How humiliating would that be? Nope, just don't think I could handle that kind of embarrassment.
I-O-U, and sometimes letter Y, too.
That was not a good choice. Very disappointed.
So here's my question for us this morning that I want us to wrestle with a little bit. And the question is there more to serving Jesus than just coming on Sundays? Is your faith still in kindergarten, or are you allowing God to do more in your life? Because the Bible says that He has an amazing plan for you. He says that He wants to do exceedingly abundantly more than you can ask or imagine. It says that God has a desire for you to do great things, but it takes some movement from us. It takes us taking a step out of the boat in order to get that. We've been saying in this series that God makes our life better and makes us better at life. And I came across this quote this week that says, life is the sum of your choices. Life is the sum of your choices. All of the things that you choose to do add up to where your life is right now. Now, of course, you didn't choose where you were born. You didn't choose your schooling. You didn't choose the family that you were born into. You didn't choose the financial status or the resources and opportunities that you've had, but you have had a choice to make the best with those things. Bad things happen, and even then, we get to choose how we respond to those bad things that happen. And the truth is, some of us have been dealt a bad hand, whether it's our family of origin or whether it's financial resources and things like that, or maybe it's a medical condition that is causing some hardships and some pain. But even when we're in the pit, we get to choose how we deal with it, don't we? Even when we're in the pit, we get to choose if we stay there. A couple months ago, I decided, and maybe this is why marathons are fresh on my mind, I decided that I was going to start running again. And I was like, I was so excited, and it had finally warmed up just enough that, you know, when you're out running and it's like 30 degrees outside, it starts to burn your lungs. Well, it wasn't that anymore. The temperature had risen up enough that I was like, okay, I'm comfortable. I can go out. And so, you know, wanting to see how much I could do the very first day, I was like, well, I'm going to run 2 miles because that's, you know, it's low for what I used to be able to run, but I'm just going to stretch out a little bit and try it. So I ran 2 miles and got home, did some stretching and things like that. I actually felt pretty good about the run, and aggravated the tendon in the bottom of my foot and ended up limping around for like 2 weeks after that, I have plantar fasciitis, and so all of my good intentions, all of my best efforts were immediately thwarted because I probably didn't stretch enough after my run. And so it's like I ended up, even though I was so excited, there was this setback, wasn't there? And for a lot of you guys, you're living in that setback right now. You're living in that time where it's like, I see the goal, I see the plan, I see what I need to do, whether it's a savings goal or whether it's a health goal or whether it's a relationship goal, whether it's something at work. You're like, I see what I need to do, but it feels like every time I try and stretch out to get that thing, to do the thing that God is asking me to do, there's another setback. There's another step back. And it feels like over and over and over again, I'm putting myself out there only to be disappointed, only to be let down, only to end up being discouraged. Even in the setbacks, we get to choose how we deal with them, don't we? The Bible has a brilliant metaphor for this that really helps us to understand what's happening in our lives. The Bible compares this to planting and harvesting seeds. If you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn over to Galatians chapter 6, and we're gonna talk about this for a few minutes today, because the truth is that there is a lot of similarities between harvesting crops and all of the other things that happen in our lives. And in fact, as we study the Bible and as theologians have studied the Bible, we see this principle pop up so often that we've turned it into a law. We call this the law of sowing and reaping, because it's like we see this principle in the scriptures and in life so often It's like the law of gravity, or it's like, the laws of thermodynamics or things like that. It's like this is established fact. If you work this, if you do this, you will get the results that you're looking for most of the time, right? there are always things that pop up. And so one of the things that I like to point out is there's a book in the Old Testament called Proverbs. This book is filled with wisdom sayings, and it's got so many great things for us to grab onto, great principles for how we live our life. And yet it will say things like, if you are righteous, then you are going to be blessed. And the blessing doesn't always look the way we want it to, does it? Sometimes the blessing comes in different ways at different seasons and different times. And sometimes you're looking at your life and you're like, I'm having a hard time finding the blessing at all. Does that mean the word of God was untrue? No, of course not. But it does mean that some of these things have more nuance than we often want to admit. And so when we read in the Bible things like this law of sowing and reaping, well, we'll dive into that in just a minute. Are you in Galatians chapter 6 yet? Let me hear you say amen. All right, Galatians chapter 6. Do not be deceived. We're starting in verse 7. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Now, this is that law right there, right? This is the law of sowing and reaping. If you sow, or if you want to reap something, then you have to sow something. If whatever you're going to reap is going to be something that you have sowed in your life. Whoever sows, verse 8, to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. And whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Verse 9, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Can we read that one together? Ready? 1, 2, 3. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. A couple things that stand out to me from this section of Scripture. The first one is that the harvest we plant will grow. That when we are intentional about planting things in our life, they will spring up. You're always planting seeds in your life, whether it's on purpose or accidentally, and we're going to talk a lot about this in just a couple minutes. You're always planting things in your life, but the harvest that gets planted, the Bible promises, will grow up. Now, for those of you that have lived in more rural settings, you've lived around a lot of farms and things like that, you know that even a guaranteed crop isn't 100%, right? Because you get to the end of the season, and in Wenatchee we had lots of cherry orchards, and we would get these late summer rainstorms that would swing through every once in a while, and the cherries would get so much rain in that season at just the wrong time that they would all split open, ruining hundreds of thousands of acres of harvest. And so we know that even in the guarantees, it's not always guaranteed. But the promise is still there. And the promise is still, if we go through and we plant and we're diligent, that God is going to come through for us. So we the harvest we plant will grow. The next thing, we get to choose the harvest that we reap. Now, this is so important. Because we can either plant things on purpose or we can plant things accidentally. I got to plant something a couple weeks ago, so I'm going to show this up on screen right now. These are our two new baby cherry trees right here that we planted, and we're excited. It says in like 4 years we should expect some sort of a crop off of them, which means you guys are stuck with us for a while. So. Because we want to get the harvest off of these, but these are our two new cherry trees. Now we wanted cherries, which meant that when we were standing at Lowe's trying to decide what to do, we didn't grab apple trees, right? We didn't grab pumpkin seeds and plant pumpkin seeds out there, or watermelon, or any of these other things. We wanted cherries, and we knew that we didn't want we wanted the dark red cherries, right? Not the red cherries, because we wanted the really sweet ones. So even in the cherries, we grabbed the trees that had the fruit that we were looking for, and that's what we ended up planting. You get to choose the harvest that you reap. But it requires us, again, being intentional. And it's not enough just to think really hard. Okay, I really want the sweet cherries and believe that I'm going to get sweet cherries. But if I don't do the work of planting the right trees, then I'm not going to get the harvest that I'm looking for. We get to choose what we reap. Here's the way this principle applies to our lives in maybe some different areas. One is in the area of our weight, right, and our exercise routine, our health, things like that. If we choose to plant Oreos inside of our body, we're gonna get the results of planting Oreos in our body, right? On the other hand, if we choose to discipline ourselves and to eat things like carrots and broccoli and other stuff like that, then you're going to get the results from those as well. And when you eat more protein, it's easier to build muscle. And so we've learned over the years how to treat our bodies. So a lot of times it's easier than other times. You know, when I'm tired at night, it's way easier to grab a bowl of ice cream than it is to grab a handful of carrots. But I know what's right. I know what I should do. I know the direction that I want to head, right? But even the best intentions don't get me to where I want to go. Here's another example. Some of you guys in here are struggling or have kids that are struggling with bad dreams and things like that, but you're not intentional about what you're allowing them to plant in their mind. And so they're watching scary movies late at night, or they're listening to things that have inappropriate lyrics or lyrics that are really aggressive. Maybe even some of the video games that they're playing are causing these reactions inside of them. And we don't take care to watch either what we're planting in our own lives or what we're allowing our kids to plant in their lives. And so it leads to these reactions, doesn't it? And we see it over and over and over again where you know, by the time you're an adult, you've learned to discipline yourself. I'm going to call out my wife Tiffany here. But there have been in our marriage certain shows that we're not allowed to watch late at night because she knew that they were going to lead to weird dreams. And so it's like, this is an earlier in the evening type of show, and then I need to watch something funny afterwards in order to make sure that I have that I get good sleep tonight. How many of you in here are like that? Does this resonate with you? Yeah, you've got some weird dreams sometimes sometimes it's the pizza that you ate, but sometimes it's the things that you're feeding into your mind, isn't it? Sorry, I lost my spot here. A couple of other things that we see is in the area of like social media, because social media is a breeding ground for comparison, envy, jealousy, lust. All of these things, when you go on to social media, you are exposed to so much of other people's lives that we just never used to see before. Or if we did see it, it was when they broke out the album when you're over at their house for dinner and you're flipping through their vacation pictures, but you didn't have it in your face all of the time. And it's so weird how every time I open up Facebook, another one of my friends is on vacation. And I'm just looking at it longingly, like, oh, man, I wish I could be in Aruba, or I wish I could be in Mexico, or I wish I could be in Disneyland, or I wish I could be in Alaska or wherever, you know. And so you get this idea, then, this picture in your mind that all of my friends all of the time are having these amazing adventures, and I'm sitting here, and I'm not. But the truth is, it's one of your friends that goes 1 week, and then another friend goes a different week, but you're seeing all of it all of the time. And Facebook knows what you like, and so it serves up their vacation pictures because it knows that you're going to sit and look at them longingly on your phone, wishing that you could be in that place, which then leads to more advertising dollars for Facebook. And so they've got a pretty good racket going there. Social media is a powerful thing when we talk about what we're planting in our lives. But on the other side, there are good things that we can plant. There are things that when we're intentional about planting them, we're going to reap a harvest that we want. How do we, the Bible calls it here in verse 8, it says, whoever sows to please the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. So how do you sow the Spirit? Well, it's the obvious things, right? We all know what's expected of us, things like Bible reading, prayer, attending on Sundays is great, but especially finding times when you can be around a group of believers and discuss the Word of God. I love Sunday mornings. I love being here. This is really great for getting information out efficiently. I stand up here. You guys all sit and listen. You laugh at my jokes every once in a while. I'm doing a good job. Well, you guys can have your own opinion about that. But we're getting information out efficiently in this way. But the truth is that if we really want to see these things planted in our lives, we need to take time to wrestle with them. We need to dig beneath the surface of what's presented on a Sunday morning. We need to go deeper than what is presented here. And the way that we do that is by wrestling through these ideas in the context of community. This is why small groups are so important to the ministry that we have here, because we provide opportunities for you to get together. But even if it's not here, even if it's something online, or even if it's just you're connecting with friends or family during the week, talking to them about the Word of God, getting in to the Bible, talking to them about what God is doing in your life, the things that you're learning, and then asking them what they're learning is such a powerful way to learn. The Bible says that iron sharpens iron, or for our metaphor here, this is like the fertilizer that we're putting on the seeds that we're sowing. This is what's going to help it to grow faster and better when we get together in community. So praying, reading the Word, church, small groups, attending conferences when you have the opportunity. Another one that's really important is finding time to serve. Again, whether it's here at church or whether it's out in the community, but finding ways to give of your time and your resources. What you're doing there is you're planting seeds in your life. I don't know how many people have come up and talked to me throughout the years and thanked me for the opportunity to serve because of what they're learning in their life and because of how it's changing them and because of how being in the toddler room and having to deal with all of the kids has enriched them, and they're learning more about God as they're trying to explain God to these little kids. The great thing is that we have opportunities for you here, but again, if it's not here, find a place to serve somewhere, because it's so important to your Christian walk. And then the last one that I would mention is giving. Taking that step of faith and giving. The Bible, I mean, over and over and over again in the Gospels, Jesus likened giving money to sowing seeds. And when we do this, we don't give to get, right? We don't give because we expect a financial blessing, but when we give, it opens up the door for God to be able to work in our lives. And so doing that is sowing seeds. The third thing that I see in this Galatians chapter 6 passage is that, first of all, the harvest we planted will grow. The second one, we get to choose the harvest that we reap. Third, the harvest takes time, so don't give up. The harvest takes time, so don't give up. Verse 9, we read it earlier. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. The harvest takes time, so don't give up. It's really easy to plant something, especially like a tree that we know is going to take 4 years to produce the fruit that we're looking for. It's really easy to plant something. We're getting ready to do our vegetable garden too, and so we planted the little cups, and we've got seeds growing in there, and some of them have already sprouted up and they're doing pretty well, and others of them, there's still nothing at the surface level. But we're being faithful to water. We're being faithful to provide for these seeds what they need, so that eventually we believe that it's gonna sprout up. But sometimes the seeds take a little bit longer, and different seeds take different lengths of time. So whatever the harvest is you're looking for, it might just be taking a little bit of time. And so the Bible says, Paul says here, don't become weary. Don't get worn out. Don't get tired in doing the good things that you know God is asking you to do. Because at the proper time, it's going to reap a harvest. Our principle here is shows the difference between good habits and bad habits. I've talked about this before, so I'm just going to go over it really quickly here. But if we could throw this up on the board. So our bad habits give us immediate rewards with delayed consequences. They give us immediate rewards with delayed consequences. This is me sitting on the couch eating a bag of Oreos instead of going running, right? I immediately get that dopamine hit in my brain every time I taste one of those delicious chocolate cookies. And I'm sorry for harping on this so much, but I appreciate you guys working with me on this illustration here. But every time I eat one of those, I get a little rush of dopamine in my brain. There's this immediate reward. And not only is there an immediate reward, but unless I overeat, which I have done in the past, but unless I overeat, there's no consequence. I got to eat the cookies. I got the immediate reward, and there was no consequence this time. There was no consequence the next time. And after, 3 weeks of doing it, I step on the scale. And, I'm a pound or two heavier, but that's okay. Water weight, right? It fluctuates every once in a while. And so I go on, and now, 2 months later, I've stopped standing on the scale because I don't need that kind of negativity in my life. And so I'm going through, and I just continue to work my system of every day eating an entire bag of Oreos. And what ends up happening to me? Probably diabetes, right? I have more sickness in my life. I get sick more often. I've got all of these other health problems that pop up. I can no longer even pretend to run 2 miles at a time. Now all of a sudden everything hurts when I wake up. I'm more sluggish. I'm more sore. All of these things, but it didn't happen the first day that I ate, and it doesn't happen on any day that I eat. But it's the cumulative effects over time that lead to this delayed consequence, and eventually it's going to catch up with you. Good habits work the opposite way. Good habits are immediate consequence with delayed reward. Immediate consequence with delayed reward. What this means is when I get up and I put on my running shoes and I go out for a run instead of sitting on the couch and eating Oreos, about halfway through I'm wondering if I can call Tiffany and have her come pick me up because I'm done. And there's an immediate consequence. And that night, I go to bed and I'm sore. And I wake up the next morning and I'm stiff. And I'm like, oh, was this really worth it? There's this immediate consequence. And the next day when I get up to go running, I'm 2 minutes slower because everything hurts. And so there's this immediate consequence. And I don't see the results of my actions right away. But if I'm diligent and every morning I get up and I run 2 miles, or even if I do it 3 or 4 times a week and I'm constant, I'm consistent at it, and over and over and over again, I'm making that choice to get up and to work out and to do the things that I need to do, and I'm saying no to the Oreos, even though I really want that immediate reward, I'm saying no and I'm sacrificing those things, eventually I get to the point where I can run further, where I can go faster than I was able to. But also, there are so many more health benefits of that. Just 30 minutes of exercise a day increases cardiovascular fitness, strengthens your bones, reduces excess body fat, boosts muscle power and endurance. It can also reduce your risk of developing conditions such as heart disease, type 2 diabetes, osteoporosis, and some cancers. There are amazing health benefits to doing this, so why don't we all do it? Because it's immediate consequences with delayed rewards. You don't see, if one of the benefits is you're never going to develop osteoporosis and you never develop osteoporosis, then it's hard to mark that date on the calendar, right? This is where I cross the line and I know that I'm never going to develop this in my life. There's no one day I cross that threshold and now I'm winning. And so that's the problem with bad habits and good habits is that with good habits, you have this immediate consequence. I'm sacrificing something. I'm struggling. I'm pushing through. I'm seeking to overcome. And then the next day, I have to get up and I have to do it all again. But over time, over time. It ends up working out in your favor. Do not become weary in doing good, the Bible says, because at the proper time, you're going to reap a harvest if you do not lose heart. So the question for today is, what are the seeds that you're planting in your life? We all have the same 24 hours in a day, don't we? We all have different demands and expectations of our time, but we have the same time frame to work with. And we have the opportunity to make choices that will either lead us towards the things that God wants for us or that will lead us away from what God wants for us.
And it was at that point in the message that a kamikaze squirrel climbed the power lines and completed a circuit with its body and cut out power to the church. So we were just talking in the sermon about bad habits and good habits, and about how we get results based on whether we have positive inputs or negative inputs. The seeds that we plant ultimately determine the things that we get out of them. So the question then becomes for all of us, what seeds are we planting in our lives? Because we all have the same 24-hour day. We've all got the same we all have the same amount of time, different expectations, different responsibilities, but the same amount of time for each of us. So what seeds are you planting in your life? The harvest will grow. We get to choose the harvest, and the harvest takes time. These are our 3 points so far. And our last point for today is that the harvest is in proportion to the amount that we sow. Let me say that one more time. The harvest is in proportion to the amount that we sow. 2 Corinthians 9:6 says it like this. It says, "Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously." This is talking about money specifically in 2 Corinthians 9, but it applies, like we've been talking about, to so many areas of our life. I'll take you guys back to my two cherry trees that I showed just a few minutes ago in that sermon. That harvest is only ever going to be so big. There's a limit to how much is going to grow there because I only planted two trees. They could be the best producing cherry trees in the world, and I still will not come close to if I had planted 10 trees or 100 trees or 1,000 trees, because they just are limited in what they can produce. And in the same way, the seeds that we plant in our life are limited by how we do. If I, again, going back to my running example, if I decide that I want to run a marathon, but I only run a mile a day, I'm never going to hit that goal. Instead, I have to plant proportionally by adding more and more mileage, by getting up earlier, and by struggling through all of that work in order to get to my goal. I will never run a 13-mile race or 26-mile race if I only ever run 1 mile at a time. And in the same way, our harvest grows proportionately to what we sow. In Galatians 6:9, again, going back to that, it's a warning and a promise for us. Once more, Galatians 6:9, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." If you're faithful to plant in the hard times, if you're faithful to plant in the obscurity, and if you're faithful to plant when nobody sees you, if you are faithful to plant in the hard times, you're going to see a harvest. But if you choose not to plant, understand that you're still planting something in your life. And it might be an accident. Some of us stumble into good things in our life, and we still have positive outcomes in different things. But in total, our life ends up becoming not all that it could be. And that's really what we're talking about today, is that intention helps to propel us further in life and in what we're going for. And so that's where we want to come back to, is we want to get back to that intentional planting, looking at our goals, talking about our purpose, figuring out what God has for us, and then planting the things that are going to get us there. So what are our next steps for today? If you've been in church for a while, I would say to you, don't allow yourself to be comfortable. Don't allow yourself to be comfortable, because it's so easy. In fact, studies tell us that after about 5 years, after somebody becomes a Christian, they tend to settle into a pretty predictable pattern. They attend the same church. They have the same Christian friends. They've for the most part lost most of their non-Christian friends, either because those friends got saved or because they've kind of pulled back from those non-Christian friends. They attend the same groups, they serve at the same level, they give at the same level, all of these different things. They've become comfortable in their faith, and it becomes really hard to move them off center once they've become comfortable. Because life is good in what they have, but sometimes good is the enemy of great. And what we want for our life is we want that abundant life that God promised us. We want that life that says that we are more than a conqueror in Him. That's the life that we're going for, and we're only going to get there as we plant seeds of faith and then watch them grow up, harvest them, and then plant more seeds, because we believe that that's what God has for us. So if you've been attending for a while, if you you've been saved for a while and you've gotten comfortable in your faith, I would encourage you to take a different step today. Sit in a different spot, go to a different Bible study, listen to a different podcast, worship in your car, give at a different level, whatever it is for you. Now, here's the great thing is we've got all sorts of next steps available for you. And if you take a look at our website, the link right below me here, we've got a card that you can fill out with all sorts of next steps where you can serve, where you can give, where you can get more involved in the things that God is doing here at Generations Church. But it doesn't have to be at Generations Church. You might want to serve in a homeless ministry. You might want to serve coaching Little League baseball. You might want to serve at your workplace, starting a Bible study during lunch. Whatever it is, God has something for you. What's your next step in your faith journey? The next thing is, if you have just started attending or you've just gotten saved, you might be at the point right now where you're not even worried as much about planting seeds, but you're still weeding the garden. You're still getting the irrigation set up. You're getting things ready so that you can plant. And I want you guys to know that God has a purpose and a plan for your life. Sometimes it's hard to see it down the road when you're still feeling so overwhelmed by all of these things, but we've got some great small groups of people that would love to come alongside of you, love to help you in your journey. Reach out to us and let us know, and we can come alongside of you and help you figure these things out. But even for you, what we want to do is we want to pray and ask God, what is my purpose? What is my next step? What is the thing that you're calling me to do? Where do you want me to plant seeds in my life so that I can see them grow up? And for some of you that are watching today, maybe you haven't even taken the step of faith yet. And so I want to pray for you today that you would cross that line. You would say, I want Jesus to be Lord of my life, because He's got an awesome plan for you. He wants to do something in you. And this is how we start living life on purpose. This is how we get to all of the things that God has for us. I'm going to pray for you guys, and then we'll get going for today. But thank you guys so much for watching. And we're just gonna pray now that God would bless you and be with you in this journey of life. Father, we thank you for this opportunity that we've had. Lord, thank you for technology that allows us, even when the power cuts out, to continue and to finish up the message. Lord, I just pray now for those that are watching, God, for those that have been struggling, Lord, for those that are trying to find their purpose. God, I pray that you would bless them, that you would speak to them, God, and that you would renew their hearts and minds. Lord, for those that have been serving you or those that have been saved for a long time, I pray, God, give them a new vision for what you want for them. God, show them where you want them to go. God, help them to move off of comfortable into the abundant life that you have for them. For those that are just getting saved, God, I pray that they would begin to see a picture of everything that you have, God, and see how you want to move them into their future. And God, for those that haven't accepted Jesus yet, I pray that today would be their time, God, that this would be their moment, that, Lord, they would give their hearts over to you, and God, that they would get themselves started on that journey. And if that's you and you just got saved right now, or you are interested in more information, go to the link in the description right here, and we would love to connect with you, love to give you some more details for how to start this relationship with God, and we want to walk alongside of you in it. Hey, thanks so much for watching, guys. God bless you, and have a great week.